Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's gear for seeing and get underway. Can you be both a reality TV star and thrive in the tech startup world? Today's podcast guest says yes.
Tanya Sam has been steadily stamping out a name for herself as one of the newest stars of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, airing on Bravo every Sunday.
Tanya got her start working in oncology as a nurse, pursuing her passion helping those in need. From there, Tanya began craving the excitement of the tech startup world.
Tanya partnered up with her fiancé, tech mogul Paul Judge, to start her journey as an entrepreneur, passionately working with female and minority-owned startups.
Her startup journey is filled with a wealth of wisdom and advice to share with our podcast listeners today.
So greetings, Tanya Sam. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello.
Hi. So happy to be here. I'm just dialing in from Atlanta. It's a beautiful day and happy to be talking to you guys.
Great. We're so happy to talk with you.
So yeah, being the hit TV show Reality and Housewives in Atlanta, I figured you're dialing in from Atlanta.
Yes. You know, and it's been a great experience. Very, very different. It's like kind of, I like to liken it to almost planet hopping. You know, mentioned it before, going from oncology to technology to now reality TV. But it sure keeps life interesting. And it's been a great opportunity to really showcase what I'm doing in tech and some of the businesses that we're running.
Yeah, it kind of hits Atlanta. We've had other guests from Atlanta, and you've got a lot of technical businesses, yes. A lot of startups, yes. And then it's becoming a TV hub. And so you're covering all the bases there.
You know, and it just very organically happens. But, you know, Atlanta's been, for the past 7 or 8 years, we've been working in technology and entrepreneurship. So it's really been a blossoming city for technology. So I'm happy to kind of share that with the world and put it on a TV show.
Well, thanks for connecting in today.
Yeah, thank you.
So Tanya, let's get to know you better. How do you like starring on The Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Oh, I mean, I'm having a great time on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. It was such a, it was a surprise opportunity really that came to me because it wasn't in my grand scheme of plans. But, you know, typically I spend my time working in technology and entrepreneurship and, you know, especially among female founders and people of color, minority founders. And this was just a great opportunity to kind of combine that with the reality TV world and kind of show that a little bit more expansively to the world. What we're doing, and I have a great time. I mean, I get to hang out with some awesome ladies, have cocktails, we travel, so it's pretty
nice. I like what you say about it wasn't on your lifetime plan. I'm wondering if anybody has being on a reality TV show on their plan.
I'm sure some do,
and I would never have guessed. You know, I'm kind of like a geeky, quirky dork that likes nice things, so I sometimes feel like I'm not the instant fit that people would imagine being on a reality TV show, but it's worked.
I think I fantasize about being on a reality TV show. Maybe that's why I do a podcast. I don't know, but it sounds really, it's really fascinating. You know, how does being an entrepreneur help you to manage the dynamic and demanding world of reality TV?
Oh, great question. Actually, you know what? It's like trading up different doses of adrenaline. And I look back through like my career, like I was in a bone marrow transplant and an oncology nurse. And I mean, that is fast paced, 12-hour shifts, barely get to the restroom, then going to startups where it's all hands on deck at all times, managing numerous jobs and hats in a business as you try to help grow and scale it. And, you know, just adding the reality TV component on top, it's just more of the same. You were just constantly go, go, go and juggling priorities and getting the job done, you know, with a bit more makeup and hair thrown in.
That's the thing about being an entrepreneur. You know, you're responsible for setting all your own priorities, and you've got to find that balance. You don't have a boss coming in and saying, hey, you got to work on this and this and this today. So I guess it's a good fit, you know, with the chaos of reality TV where you've got to constantly be, you know, setting priorities moment to moment as things change on the TV show.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of the things that everyone always asks about reality TV. They're like, okay, nudge, nudge, come on, tell me the truth. It's scripted to this. And it's really not. Like, it almost surprised me. It is all on you. You're accountable for your own actions, words. There is no script. And building a startup is very much like that. There is no script. There's nobody, you know, especially when you're you know, a founder or this. There's nobody who's telling you what to do. And more than that, it is almost like break the rules, break the script, and, you know, get to the next visionary level of where you're trying to take a business or a company.
Hey, I think the next thing you need to do is write a book. And you just said the title, There Is No Script.
There is no script. I should write that down, actually. You're very right.
All right, you got to credit me for that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So Tanya, talk with us about leading the technology and venture capital fund, Tech Square Labs.
Great. So, you know, we founded, Paul and I, who's my fiance, and I also like to say one of the best mentors and supporters I've had in kind of launching into technology and startups, started investing very organically through our own family office several years ago. And, you know, he really pushed me to help build my own first initial businesses. And then we wanted to kind of do more of that for the Atlanta community. Startups and technology then, about 6 years ago, they were there, they were out there, but there wasn't really a community where people could go, just early stage founders with a business idea to help grow their businesses. So we started with a space, we had co-working and areas for entrepreneurs. We were right in the heart of Georgia Tech. So you're surrounded by the smartest of smartest technical talent as well. And then on top of that, we've layered really what we call like ecosystem building. So if you're building that startup, we think one of the key things is, you know, surrounding yourself with people who think alike, who are trying to build entrepreneur companies and entrepreneurial dreams. And then we have a fund on top of that. And the fund focuses on investing in early stage startups. Specifically, we really like to focus on technical founders. That doesn't mean that everyone is a technical founder, but at least, you know, one of your co-founders is technical and you're building a product out of that. We've kind of branched a lot because I feel like that's changing. And, you know, the saying of software is eating the world. Like, there's not one piece that of this world that software and technology won't touch. So we've seen a lot more technology-enabled platforms, like whether it's going through fashion, e-commerce, marketing. So it's broad and it's really exciting.
So do you do a lot of networking within the community to look at different, you know, early stage startups, or do the startups come to you, or is there just kind of falls into place? That's a fascinating niche you're in.
Yeah, constantly networking. And, you know, part of what we wanted to do was have, you know, number one, a flagship place where people knew, hey, this is where you go if you are, you know, want to see a fireside chat with successful founders, pitch practice, all those pieces. So I think one of our pivotal events that we've done is the Atlanta Startup Battle. And we've given away close to $850,000 alone in that event. And it's specifically for early stage founders. And that can range, usually it's pre-series A. But they're, you know, from the idea stage to summer and revenue, it's pretty broad. We've had over 2,000, almost close to 3,000 people apply, because we've now done, we're coming up on our sixth startup battle. The startup battle is atlantastartupbattle.com. It will be April 23rd. We just closed applications. We had over 300 people apply from actually all across.
That's incredible. So it's kind of a networking event. You're bringing people together. They get a chance to share ideas and work with other, interact with other people who are at the same stage that they're in.
Yeah. And I think I forgot to mention the prize is a $100,000 investment. So that's a pretty big check. That can take you pretty far. So
too late for me to get in on that. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to get business. You know who to talk to.
I want this podcast. We got a podcast we're starting up here. Well, hey, you know, let's talk a little bit more about something else you're doing. You co-founded Built for Women, a business accelerator for female entrepreneurs. How can women use accelerators to advance their startup dreams?
Oh, I think this is so important. So this is something, you know, that came through one of our initiatives at Tech Square Labs, because I was like, you know, there's just the question of diversity and people of color and women in technology, how do we help move that needle significantly? And, you know, Atlanta's a great place. We have all these really smart women who have worked in Fortune 500, 100 companies that have these amazing ideas to change the world. How do we help move the needle? So this was a cohort for women founders only, working on a variety of different technology businesses. And, it, you know, one of the big things I think is education. And like I said, surrounding yourself with a team, like that mastermind group of people who are doing the same thing, that'll help push you every week to really move the needle and build your business, you know, and move you off the little hurdles or the things that you get stuck by. So we offered a lot of education, whether it was on fundraising, access to capital, and also helping make those connections. business. You know, we've been in Atlanta for a long time, but you know, I think the key to really successful business is, how do you get that first customer? You're building a B2B business. How do you walk into Delta and say, can you help me pilot this? So we used a lot of our connections in Atlanta to help make those moves and help women, you know, get the meetings they need to get the capital they need to get, and make those fundraisers happen.
So Accelerator, just kind of like the name says, it helps accelerate the whole process. And I manage, you know, it's tough, you know, women are lagging in their involvement with tech and being involved with tech and STEM. So I imagine being able to network that way and accelerate, you know, can help them, you know, fill some gaps there also.
Yep. And, you know, one of the biggest things is, you know, people always talk about women lagging in tech. You know, I think that, you know, we are changing that mentality. You know, I look at myself and my background. I went into a very, you know, women-oriented profession of nursing, right? So I had all these women supporting us behind you. And then when you make that move to a, you know, historically male-dominated industry, you know, you look around and women, they're like, well, there's no mentors. Who can help me? I think the key thing in that is finding a mentor to help you anywhere. And my mentor happens to be a male, and he taught me a lot because he taught me to kind of, you know, typically we don't realize like the gender thoughts in our head. I was like, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't have a PhD in computer science. And, you know, it was the men who were like, who cares? You'll figure it out. You're smart. And I was like, ooh, I need to research more. It's not perfect. You know, those mindsets are very different. And I think, you know, being around women is helpful. But I also say, like, find the mentors where you can. And I think we teach that in a lot of our accelerators. It's kind of like, just go do it.
Yeah, yeah. They say to find mentors or partners ever that balance yourself. You know, they're kind of like the other side. So maybe some of that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tanya, you also led the Pre-Accelerator Ascend 2020 that helps minority and female budding entrepreneurs. What are some important points for achieving startup success?
Oh, so this is a great question. That accelerator, it's we actually lead it in collaboration with JP Morgan Chase, Morehouse College, and Tech Square Labs. And, you know, we're in the heart of the HBCU, all these historically black colleges. And we really were like trying to help these early stage entrepreneurs really move the needle as well. And so I think with this cohort, this is our second cohort, actually, what we really tried to do is hammer down the early stage business principles. And, you know, we all think we could read a couple books and understand how to do this. And, you know, a lot of people can do that. But I think it was the collaboration of like learning these foundations, trying it out. And, you know, this might not be the first, you know, these are early entrepreneurs. They might not create Facebook on their second year on campus or whatever, but it's getting that business mindset early and being able to grow through life towards success.
Have you had anybody come to the Ascent 2020 that then partner up and go into the accelerator and try to move there?
We haven't had any dual people go through both of them. Ascent 2020 is actually 6 months, so it's a long, it's a longer accelerator program than Built By. They're not all that different. It's just the focuses are different, and they're both very individualized for each founder. We really focus on key metrics in each business that we can help you accelerate and move through the program. So we haven't had crossover like that. What we have had is people come out of both of those accelerators and then pitch on stage for our startup battle and take home a prize money of $100,000. Mm-hmm.
So the Ascent 2020, it's a good place to network and probably is helpful in generating, you know, generating some initial business. Yeah. And, you know, helping to get things off the ground then when they do choose a startup they want to go into.
Yes. And, you know, with Ascend 2020, one of the differences of that is because we were partnering with JP Morgan Chase. We also had a segment that focused on small businesses as well and helping small businesses become more technology enabled in order to grow their businesses. And I think that's a real conversation right now because small businesses will get left behind if they're not really focused on how technology is going to disrupt their industry and their business in, you know, as little as 2, 5 to 10 years.
That's such a good point. I mentioned to people the whole home-based business revolution, working from home. It's all enabled by technology. You could not do it before the internet. Now it's evolved into every, you know, it's become virtually seamless. A home office can be a corporate office and it's all enabled by technology. Like you're saying, you don't have to have a computer sciences PhD.
No.
It's just a willingness to learn the technology and how it all works together to enable your business.
Yeah. And I think you're remiss if you don't see the vision of growing your home business with technology, because it won't, you know, what we have right now, it will not stay the same. Like, technology is going to, I think, drastically shift the world within less than 10 years. So think about that and how it applies to your business, and make sure you're on that roller coaster. You know, we always say nobody wants to be Blockbuster.
That's a good analogy. I think I just heard the last Blockbuster close last month. Well, you know, you also talk about how entrepreneurs should find balance, such as being involved in their community. Tanya, talk with us about the nonprofit you help lead and how that helps you to find balance in your life.
Oh, thank you for asking me that. So Kate's Club is an organization. It's an Atlanta nonprofit. We've been around for 15 years, and we are a grief organization for children who have lost a parent or sibling between the ages of 5 and 18. And I got involved with this because my sister and I lost our mom when we were 12 and 11. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then, there just wasn't anything like this around. So we actually have a physical clubhouse, and we run summer camp programs where we help children. And we've probably this year alone, we've got over 750 kids going through our weekly clubhouse programs. And it's just a safe place where we offer recreational and play therapy for kids to go and grieve and learn how to grieve, you know. And that doesn't mean crying. It can mean laughing. It can mean playing, but just being able to express that and work through their grief. And it's such a gift. It is such a gift. It has helped me immensely, you know, because it's just, you know, sometimes you shy away from those things because you think, I don't have time. I've got so much on my plate with everything else. But it's been such a gift to me. And one of the things that I've really been working on within that organization is how we can use technology to help us scale, even in the nonprofit world. You know, how we can bring our resources, which are based predominantly in a physical clubhouse, how we can take that to the world through technology. And, you know, platforms like this, a podcast, video cast as well.
Yeah. Plus with, children that age, you know, young adults getting, are completely plugged into technology from a start. And that's such an important niche that you found there. I haven't heard of that before, but that would be a really important place to help. So you're adding a lot of value there. That's impressive.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Tanya, Sam, this has been a great discussion on your exciting life as an entrepreneur and reality TV star. Do you have any final points you'd like to share?
No, thank you so much for having me. You know, check us out if you're in Atlanta, Atlanta Startup Battle, April 23rd. Tickets are free. You can sign up on our website and check me out on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I wish you all continued success, everyone who's watching in your businesses, and just go get them.
It's been fascinating, Tanya. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. To learn more about Tanya Sam, visit TanyaSam.com or our website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us in this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for more information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more info, visit homebusinessmag.com or the expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.